This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're continuing with Brahms' First Symphony. Now, yesterday, we talked about the fact that Brahms took 21 years to write his First Symphony, starting with a few sketches when he was an up-and-coming 22-year-old, and finally premiering it when he was an established 43-year-old. And in that time, a fierce debate was going on about the very nature of classical music and the symphony's place as the premier form. Haydn and Mozart had lifted this symphony up and refined it, but Beethoven took it and ran. His innovations brought the symphony to new heights and established it as the primary form of orchestral music. It's not an accident that orchestras are often called symphony orchestras. They're literally orchestras designed to play a symphony. But the symphony was also a classical structure, a way of writing and organizing music that was an outgrowth of the classical era's focus on form and structure. The composers of the Romantic era thought differently. Many saw music as a means of personal expression above all else, and any formal rules were a hindrance to that end. Some of them pushed the boundaries of sonatas, concertos, and symphonies, writing pieces that didn't follow the expected order or structure, but still at their heart sounded like those forms. But others argued that what was needed was a clean break, new forms and new ways of looking at them to go along with the new styles that composers were experimenting with. Liszt was a proponent of that way of thinking, saying, quote, "New wine needs new bottles." He was joined by a group of composers and music critics, including Wagner. And in addition to arguing for new forms, they also promoted the idea of program music, where a piece can tell a story or represent certain ideals. Again, music was viewed as a vessel for personal expression, and the messages and stories that it conveyed were almost as important as the music that conveyed them. Brahms and Clara Schumann were at the head of a more conservative group. They argued that music cannot represent anything besides itself, which is an idea known as absolute music. And more broadly, they thought that music was an end in and of itself, and that formal structure was an inherent part of well-crafted music. Now, oddly enough, both sides saw Beethoven as their champion. Liszt, Wagner, and that group looked at his challenging of the status quo, both musically and politically, and saw themselves as carrying on that legacy. The Brahms and Clara Schumann group looked at the fact that while his music itself was quite innovative, he still largely composed in classical forms. This conflict was known as the War of the Romantics, and it was mainly fought through essays, letters to various publications, the reviews of critics on both sides, and a lot of coordinated hissing and booing at each other's concerts. When this symphony was dubbed Beethoven's Tenth, it was an attempt to further align the conservative side with Beethoven. But the key to understanding this symphony is to realize that Brahms was much more concerned with the music itself and the inner workings of that music, how he crafted everything around it, rather than trying to convey some kind of greater message or ideal. Here's the Musopen Symphony Orchestra with the second and third movements of Brahms' First Symphony.
Thank you.
Above all, those two movements are just gorgeous, perfectly crafted music. I like to think of Brahms as like a watchmaker, getting down to the very smallest musical phrases and tinkering with every little bit of the larger symphony. And it's also setting us up for the big dramatic finale to come. Thanks to the MuseOpen Symphony for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this podcast wherever it is that you're getting it. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow we will be finishing up with Brahms' First Symphony and listening to that dramatic finale. I'll see you then.